Welcome to the Awaken to Wholeness Summit. I'm Val Zalitker. Today we have an incredible woman who has really discovered the secret to living her dreams and saying yes to life on every level, Anita Wing Lee. Anita is an international broadcaster, award-winning speaker, producer, humanitarian, and meditation guide. Her mission in life is to help people find the courage to pursue their dreams and realize their fullest potential. Since 2011, she's traveled and worked in 28 countries in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Central America. Anita shares with a level of authenticity and boldness rarely found in the online community. As she chronicles her journey as a millennial committed to fulfilling her highest potential. Often hailed as a voice of wisdom beyond her years, Anita is a leader in the new generation of conscious leaders and creators. She's been featured in Mashable, Adweek, CBC, and Periscope as one of the top female broadcasters to follow. And I can vouch for that because Anita met in Periscope when you were putting together Global Meditation Scope. So awesome, honey. It's really, really awesome to have you with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Val. I'm excited to chat more and dive in today.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, I really feel like you are living, you're living what it means to just be in service and fully, really, like I said, fully say yes. Whatever you feel, whenever you get a hit that I need to do this, you go. Like, you're so tapped into your instinct and you follow it. And it's something that we all crave. We all crave to be able to be that bold in our lives. So I'm super excited to dive in.
Let's do it.
So I actually want to read a quote. Your quote from your site that I think really captures the heart of you. And something we've talked about before too, which is this. You ask, what would happen if we stopped worrying about money and careers and woke up every day asking, how can I serve? How can I serve? And this is, you know, we've talked about this, like being in sacred service, you know, and really like knowing that we're part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And in the last few years, I've watched you just say yes to everything. And I'd love to hear your journey, like how it unfolded for you, how you discovered what you wanted and how you kept saying yes and still are.
Absolutely. I think it helps to start back to when I was in university, because for me, this is where I started to make that pivot between what everyone else was doing, all my classmates, what I saw everyone else doing, and what, like, most of North America, the average person who commutes to work and goes to work, between that trajectory and what I end up doing now. So now I travel the world. Most recently, I've been almost a full year out since I left Canada, traveling, creating content online, chronicling that journey, sharing it, and then also creating more in-depth training programs for people. If they want to learn more about how to do this, do similar to what I do, which is at the heart of it, it's like tapping into your calling and then having both the courage, the resilience, and the skills to bring it forward into life. And then naturally, because I travel and that's part of my dharma and that's part of my calling, I also show people different ways that they can travel. If they want to demystify it. It's not like you need to have a lot of money. I still once in a while get people asking me, not everyone has rich parents funding your travels. And I'm like, and that's where I'm like, I don't know how many times I've said this, but I'll say it again. I don't have rich parents who did it. I figure who helped me at all, actually. I just figured it out on my own by taking these baby steps forward.
And you know what? That is really like a key into a really prevalent limiting belief, which is I don't have the money to do it if somebody is called.
And we can definitely talk. We'll talk a ton about money. So when I was in university, I mean, I was always a good student. So after my first year, I got an internship at a marketing company. I was studying media at the time. So to get an internship that was related to sort of the creative side of business, that was, you know, one of the best internships you could get. And out of 9 interns, I was the only freshman intern. All of the other interns were upper year students. So I thought, okay, like I'm set. I've got it down. I've got this down. I've got this in the bag. You know, my resume is good. I'm involved in all this stuff. Like it'll be easy from here on in for the rest of my career. And what ended up happening was as a part of that internship, I started to see the full-time employees in the office, and it was like gorgeous summertime and people are sitting in their offices. And there's nothing against working in the office. If that's part of your calling, that's fine.
Absolutely.
But from what I saw, I just felt like these people do not look happy. They don't really look like they want to be here. And then personally for me, I felt like I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to just spend my summers indoors, like 8 hours a day or 10 hours to commute, you know, with the commute. Like that's not living to me. That's how I felt. And then as the cherry on top of that experience was I had a 2-week internship, a 2-week stint as a brand ambassador, and a tech brand had just come out with a vacuum cleaner. And so my job was to stand in the hardware store, and I had this little patch of carpet, and my job was to like throw dirt on this carpet and then vacuum it back up with this new vacuum cleaner and demo it. So I was throwing dirt, vacuuming it back up, throwing dirt and vacuuming it back up. And it was just the most like weird and silly thing to do. And it was one of the, like 2 weeks I did that and I was like, okay, never again. Like this whole system of going to university, I've been playing all of my cards right. And from what I can see, like these people don't look happy. And if this is the best internship that I can get for my age, and this is where it's led me, I'm going to try something else. So like any good 20 something, I like one of the ways to explore what else was out there for me was to travel. So I ended up going to Italy to teach English. And that was the first time in my life. So I spent most of the summer in Italy, in Northern and Central Italy. I got to visit all of the main cities like Milan and Rome and Venice. Mm-hmm. But the main thing that stuck with me was I met other 20-somethings in the world that did not care at all about getting a normal job. I still remember there was like this Australian who had these flashy Australian flag pants and go brown barefoot. And he was a couple years older because I think I was maybe 20 at this time. And they just didn't care. Like some of them had teaching degrees. You didn't need one to teach in Italy for summer camps, but some of them had teaching degrees. So they could get proper teaching jobs in the countries they were from, but they didn't care. And they seemed happy. And the company was run by a British and American couple who were also in their 20s. And they also like weren't living the traditional life, and they were happy. They seem happy too. So even though I knew I don't want to keep teaching English for the rest of my life, I that like glimmer in me of like, there's another way.
Something else. Yeah.
And I want to like know more. So I had to go back to university. That, well, I didn't have to, but that was like the most natural thing. So I went back to university and I actually ended up transitioning to a business school because I always wanted to work in media. So we can talk about how I discovered this as well. I always wanted to work in media because I thought it would be a way I could spread positive messages in the world. And then I'd seen sort of the industry of media and I was like, most of those are like big corporations now. So if I wanted to change them, it won't hurt to get a business degree. So that I can get inside, you know, sort of infiltrate from inside.
Strategic.
Yeah. you'll see where that led in a second. So I thought, so the funny thing though, at business school, that was also where I honed in even more on the fact that like, I really don't belong in a suit. I was the girl who, literally wore neon leggings and Transformer t-shirts to like my business school classes. And, I'm grateful for that experience though, because it taught me to put myself out there. So in business school, there are lots of big companies that will come to recruit, because they're looking for these high caliber grads. But I, at the time, decided I wanted to be a documentary filmmaker. And obviously there are no film studios coming to a business school to hire like investment bankers and marketers and management consultants. So I had to find my own way. And this was where I learned to put myself out there. So networking, which I really just think of as finding your kindred spirits in the world, became a part of my life because I had to I would show up to these events and start to connect with social entrepreneurs and just connect with people around the world and tell them about what I wanted to do. Like I wanted to use business as a force for good. I wanted to share stories. So while I was in business school, I ended up getting to spend 2 summers abroad, both of them paid. which I had never heard of anyone like prior to that going to business school, like that costs four times as much as regular tuition in Canada, and then going to Africa and getting paid for it. And those experiences in Africa, I worked in international development, I worked in social entrepreneurship. They, once again, like they opened my eyes up even more. Like the fact that I could create something out of nothing, mm-hmm. and like, you know, being a little bit of an entrepreneur and then seeing how other people in the world lived, it just expanded my horizons and my mentality so much that by the time I graduated university, I'd been to 23 countries, all of that self-funded in different ways. Again, no parents here. Like sometimes I worked during the school year, sometimes I was able to find paid gigs to travel the world. And I thought to myself, is now when I finally go get a normal job? And the answer in my heart was always just no. Like, no, Anita, like you've done all of this like weird stuff, even though you went to business, you went to university, your path has been different. Like, no. And my last semester of university, though, I discovered that the online entrepreneurship world and this idea that you could actually be a creator and create things online and make a living off of it through different ways. And I was like, that's what I want to do. And so I started to dive into that entrepreneurship journey. And instead of continuing to travel the world, I spent a year and a half in Canada, pretty much learning everything I could about online entrepreneurship and marketing and all these things. But I hit this point that I call my carpet bottom moment. Like people have their rock bottom moments, but this was me literally lying with my stomach on the carpet and my forehead on my forearms, just being like, I can't do this anymore. Because I thought I was following my dream. I thought I was doing exactly what I wanted. Like I happened to have been born with this radar where I was like, no, I only want to do what I want to do. So I've been following it all these years. But I was having anxiety attacks and panic attacks, and I thought I was building my dream though. So why am I feeling so bad about it? And I started to clue into the fact that I had adopted everything that these, you know, marketing gurus taught me about making a living online. And I was just trying to do what they did and follow their blueprint instead of doing what my heart really wanted to do. And so I felt like total crap. And so bit by bit, and this is where I began to find meditation, because like I was in such a jam that I got to a point where I was literally working like 55 minutes a day. So I would stop for 5 minutes and meditate every hour. Mm-hmm. And I was living my life for those 5 minutes, because I was just like, I was so far gone in my mind. I just couldn't think. I was so anxious. But the meditation helped. And bit by bit, and through reading and through taking my time, through slowing down and just being like, it's okay to not do anything marketing wise and just read this book that's going to feed my soul right now. Mm-hmm. I began to like understand why I was living that way. And I just realized that like, I've got to do it my way. Like I've got to just do it my way. And I've got to like understand that like my intuition is going to guide me through this whole process. And I'm not going to create anything else like anyone else has seen, because that's not what we're here to do. We're each here to do something unique. And so after spending a year and a half in Canada, I was like, you know what, it's time to go back out into the world, because that's what I was always doing. That's what I always wanted to do. And I knew that travel was just part of my dharma. It's part of what I'm here to share. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to be, I caught myself doing that thing that a lot of us do, where we're waiting for something to work out before we actually live our dream. Mm-hmm. And so I was waiting for my online business to work out before I actually traveled the world. And I reached this point where I'm like, no, I'm just going to go out into the world. So I actually ended up auctioning off through Periscope some of my most prized possessions. Which were the books that all the books that I had read over the years that helped me become the person that I am today. Mm. And I had enough for about like, I had enough money for about 2 months. So it wasn't like I had a lot. And that was almost a year today. It was December 29th, 2015. Yeah. I think I've always been living my calling and always been pursuing it, but that transition from like being student to doing it full time, mm-hmm. and then to doing it for my life, regardless of, you know, what my business looks like, just being like, I'm going to live my life in the way that's most authentic to me and share it and figure it out as I go. And so that's kind of that's led to where I am now. And I've gotten to do so many incredible things over the past year. I'm in Paris right now, and the reason for that is because I'm working with a filmmaker, and like certain things that I had never dreamed of have been able to happen, usually in the way that I didn't expect. But I'm not here to, like, you know, I kind of clued in that I'm not here to build a business anymore. No one's really here to build a career. What we're here to do is share this gift that's in our heart. And I've just had to really learn to trust and use my intuition and go with the flow. I mean, totally reorganize my thinking around money in order to get to the place where I'm going to do it, because this is what I'm here to do.
And honey, like, listening to the story and how it's all unfolded for you, you've touched on a couple things that are, I think, really dive in worthy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Super juicy. I mean, the first thing that came to mind was, did you ever see the movie Joe versus the Volcano?
Pardon?
Joe versus the Volcano is a movie with Tom Hanks. And basic premise is that he plays this guy who works in this office, and it's like fluorescent lights and this hula dancer on every day is the same thing. And he's a hypochondriac, and he's ready to die. He's not living. And, you know, for some people, you know, it's not about being in an office. It's about being in a situation that doesn't resonate with your soul, you know, with what you're called to be doing, and feeling like you're a prisoner in something and trapped somehow because of the thoughts you're telling yourself. So, like, that first hit that you got when you were like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be in this office. I'm not going to throw dirt on a carpet. Like, this isn't where I belong. And you honored that. Was the first thing that's like right there. You've been listening to your intuition all the way. It just keeps moving and shaping you, you know, and all the experiences that you've had, just like all the experiences that we all have in our lives, shape us, right? They move us. They guide us toward ourselves much, much deeper, you know, everything we do. So, like, you took that year and a half to study online marketing, and you needed to do that because it really serves you now in the work you're doing. Mm-hmm. All these steps along the way, I see how they've supported you to be able to do what you're doing now too.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an interesting unfolding. And also the fact that we don't need to know all the answers.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's a big one.
It's a huge one. Like, we always think, I'll be ready when, or I have to research this more, or I need to put these, you know, ducks in a row, so to speak, or like, there's always something else to do before we say our big yes. And mm-hmm. that's something that, you know, I think you really embody, and I'd like us to talk about too, which is feeling that call, saying yes, and not worrying so much about the how as much as that you know you must.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the funny thing is, when I look back to, so now I can talk really clearly about intuition, you know, and how to tap into your intuition and how important it is to use your intuition and to follow it. Back then, I didn't use the words intuition. It was literally like part desperation and part inspiration. And I think this is important for everyone to know, because sometimes you're like, oh, well, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. Like, sometimes you don't, like, as you mentioned, we don't have to know all the answers. I was literally, I just saw these people in offices, and I was like, I don't want that. So I need to do something else, right? It was honestly, I didn't know how it was going to work out, mm-hmm. but I was inspired and like to do something different, because I knew that I didn't want to be doing this 5 years from now.
Right.
But there was like, and it's, I was a little bit like desperate to find something else too, because like if I ended up there in 5 years and that was the only way, like that seemed like a really crappy life to me. So I think I want people to know that it's okay if like, you don't have to be like, oh yeah, I'm the super empowered woman. I'm awake and I'm going to go and charge for it. Like, honestly, in the early days, it was just like, okay, I got to do something different because this isn't working out. And it's okay to take those leaps, partly because you need to. It was both like a need and a calling. Because I think sometimes we feel like, oh, like I have to be so clear. No, like I was just desperate to get out of that system. And so I was willing to try something new. And as I mentioned, I knew I didn't want to teach English. As soon as I was doing it, like, it was awesome. It got me out there, but I knew I didn't want to do it. I still had to find what it is I wanted to fill my days and my time with, but it opened the door.
Mm.
And for anyone who's ever traveled before, travelers tend to have a slightly different mentality on the end result, because I love empowering people to travel and like sharing tips and things about that, because it's not about going, like, I've traveled enough to know that it's not about getting to Paris. It's not about getting to Bali and like sipping martinis on the beach and posting Instagram photos of it all day. It's actually the person that you become when you embark on that journey, because travel forces you to let go of your paradigm. And I like to think, like, even if you don't want to let go of your paradigm, you're like, okay, I just took a sabbatical from my job. I'm going to go back after. Like, when you put yourself out into the world, the universe does this funny thing where it will, like, purposely cancel your flight, or it will purposely not make something work so that you can learn these really important lessons about how life works.
You know, I think about, like, I have a toddler, you know him, right? And a big thing that I stay present to is, like, when, say he's doing some art, right? We see a lot that, you know, the child will do something and then show it to you and you're like, oh, that's awesome. Like, there it is. And then that's like, it's all about that finished product. Like, you want them to create a masterpiece. And what I've realized that is so important is that it's about the process. And like, he might create this beautiful, you know, colorful painting and then take black and pour it all over it. And it's like, awesome. What is black going to do when you pour it all over it? And it becomes about being in the presence of the process and just letting it be the process. Never, ever even worrying about it, a finished piece of art you're hanging on your fridge, even though you might hang it on the fridge at the end kind of thing, but it's not praising the finished product. It's being in the process and having fun with that journey and recognizing the lessons and the learning that happens through each moment of that process. So there's a two-year-old, and there's how we're, you know, we're coming into this world where we are so focused on the process. We're not focused on that end result, but somehow along the journey, we become so focused on that destination, become present into where we are right now and all the gold that's here in this moment for us. You know, all the wisdom, all the incredible lessons. And like you're saying, maybe that flight was canceled and you're so caught on that idea because you needed to be there at whatever. But what about what's unfolding for me right now because of that? And how does that teach me about myself and where I need to be? So there's just so much. There's so much in that. I love that you said that. I wanted to just capture that.
Yay, love it.
And I'm curious, like, so along your journey, how has your relationship to both fear and creativity shifted?
Oh, I love this. So I think fear is something that a part of it with maybe I was like younger and I just took chances because this is the thing. So sometimes people like think they it has to be this really big leap, right? Like, okay, I'm just going to quit my job and travel the world full time forever. I don't expect anyone to do that because even for me and through that journey and even like to this day, it started with like, I'm just going to go for a few months, but I've always got a backup of like, I could always go get a normal job. Right. And then I would come back and do another semester. And it was like, I'm going to go to Africa this summer, but I'm still going to business school. So if I wanted to, I could eventually use my business degree and get a business job. And then, as I mentioned, when I graduated, it was like, it was again, one of those forks in the road, although it was a bigger one. And I think people think it has to be these, like, you need to take these big giant leaps in order to live your calling and, you know, and create your business or do what it is that you love in the world. But no, it's these little steps. And it was like, now it's probably been at least 5 big times that I took leaps, but I always had a backup because I think it's something our mind just needs, right? We have that fight or flight instinct. And fear is not a bad thing. Fear is what stops us from like running in front of a car as we're crossing a street. Fear is what is like, maybe you should pack that because you might need it. But we can work with fear. So I've worked with fear by doing things like, okay, I'll make sure I have enough money for this. And then we're going to go do this. And then, you know, and like even planning things out so that my mind knows that it's like, okay, we're just going to go have fun for here and we'll enjoy it. But we're going to do some, let's say, income generating activities later. It doesn't always work out quite that way, but having a fallback so that my fearful mind is like, okay, if this doesn't work out, we're going to go do this, right? And then we're like, yes, yes. So it's almost like befriending your fear as if it's like, sometimes it literally is a parent.
I love
as,
that.
Befriending. As if it's a parent that's like, well, what happens if this, you know, like my parents would literally be like, well, where are you staying in Africa? And sometimes I would know and sometimes I didn't know. But I would tell them an answer that comforted them so that they wouldn't worry. So Our mind is a little bit like that. Sometimes we just have to come up with enough of a plan so that it's okay, and then we can go for these things. And then bit by bit, you get more brave. So now, for example, I don't have as my fallback plan is not go get a normal job. You know, my fallback plan is much bigger, it's much faster, but it's also much grayer because I've taken enough leaps to know that when I take the leap, the net will appear. So that's one big thing. It wasn't like this one giant leap. It was like, okay, let's test it out and see what happens. Mm. Let's test it out and see what happens, right? The first time it was to teach English because that's one of the most easiest, stable, well-known ways as an English-speaking person to get paid to go somewhere else in the world and to travel versus like, I'm going to go make a film and spend all of my savings on it. So I think that's been the biggest thing, like taking little steps first and being like, we'll just go once and see what happens instead of having to feel like you need to make this big life change. And if it's meant to, that big life change will happen naturally. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of creativity, I love this. And I love talking to people about this idea of being a creator because I consider myself an online creator, but all of us are creators. And if we could learn, to identify ourselves as creators, we would be so much more empowered. It's not just for the artists or for the entrepreneurs. Like every single one of us is always creating or contributing to someone creating something. Mm-hmm. And we all have that capacity to create something in the world. Some things are tangible, like artwork, for example, or videos, but some things are not tangible, like creating a family, you know, or creating an amazing culture at the place that you work. But when, for me, like that act of creating is so sacred and it's so precious. And like, I consider my, and you know, my work time is like my creation time, and I'm actually not attached to what I create. So as you know, I've created Periscopes, which are live streams. I've created videos, I've created programs. And that just happens to be what I feel called to create. But I think when we allow ourselves to think of our work as creation, right? Like then you get to use your inbuilt creativity to think of how could I do this differently? Even if you work in a job, it's like, you can look, okay, like this is like 7 hours that I'm here to create something. What is it that I want to create? You know, or if you really feel stifled at work, like use your time outside of it to create, because I feel like that idea of your calling and that spark is honestly that urge that we have in all of us to create something.
Absolutely.
And I love it. And like, I don't, you know, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a traditional artist, but I totally own the creator title because it allows me to be whatever I want in the world. And I think everyone should adopt it.
Yeah. It doesn't limit us. That's beautiful, honey. And really thinking about, you know, fear and creativity also is like, you know, befriending your fear. I love that you said that because it really does become, if we allow ourselves to become curious about how fear shows up in our lives and where it may stop us from connecting to that higher vision of who we are and living it out, you know, and because I think on the other side of fear is unlimited creative potential, unlimited capacity to create, like you're saying, you know, when we allow, and we're not talking about like the fear don't run in front of the car, but we're talking about those fears that, you know, have those voices in our head saying, you can't do this. It's scary. Don't do that. Run back to safety. Doesn't mean don't be safe, but do we really want to trade in like a safe life for a fully lived and realized life? So that's kind of the question that comes up, and how we can play more by taking the step forward into our creative space, even if the voices of fear are talking to us because we're befriending them. Okay. Instead of being like, no, or, you know, or being so paralyzed by them, we invite them to tea, you know, and we say, okay, fear, voices of fear, you know, the fearful one within me, let's sit down and talk about this. Where is that coming from? You know, what does that really mean? You know, is there something that happened when I was a child that's still staying here and not moving forward? Like, what is that voice really telling me right now? And how can we work together to grab courage, you know, and you hand to hand, like you on one side, courage on the other, and we walk together, you know, and we walk together into our creativity and we just start exploring. And it's like, when you start doing it once and you realize that it was more like the idea of it and not the thing itself.
Yeah.
I can do this. Let me try it again. And then you try it again.
Exactly.
I got this. I don't need to have that job to fall back on. This totally works. Yeah. But you know it right away, you know, because fear is loud, but now fear's quieted down, you know, and fear's still there. It's still there, but you're moving in a different way with creativity now, you know. Mm-hmm. You can see that process and feel that process. I know I have felt it in my own life. I have a good friend who leads fire walks, you know, and the whole intention of that is this idea of, oh my God, walk on fire. It's going to burn my feet. I'm positive. I have this idea. I can't walk across glass. I can't break an arrow with my neck. Like, there's these things that you do in this workshop that he does that are just like, you think are not possible. And then you do them and you realize so much more is possible than I allow myself to believe. So where in my life am I not believing that things are possible for me?
Mm-hmm.
How I show up, you know, how I live in the truth of who I am. And then there's the big question of sometimes people don't know, like really don't know what they want. They really don't know what that gift is. So let's speak to that too. Like, let's go right to that sort of beginning space where somebody's sitting here and going, this sounds awesome. And it's so inspiring to hear you living your yes. And I want to do that too, but I don't know what I'm good at. And I don't know what I want. What does someone do when they're in that space?
Yeah, there's a couple of ways of finding that spark you're in within yourself.
Yeah, let's talk about
and that. I've kind of, I guess for me, I've just kind of noticed now that like I was born with a soul that was like tapped into it. And like when I was young, I just like latched onto it and was like, this is what I want to do with my life. Whereas a lot of people get it programmed out of them. Because I really believe that like all of us when we're born, like we have, if you think of nature, like we have this blueprint of what we're capable of, like, right? Mm-hmm. You can't try to make like a tomato seed turn into a cucumber plant. It's like going to be a tomato. So each of us, like, and our souls were born with these blueprints and we're supposed to do different things. And when we do these things with our life, we are the most fulfilled. We are the most mm-hmm. happy. And I believe that naturally we'll find the most like financial or material success, not necessarily right away, but we'll find that because the universe is like, yes, you're doing it. Like, we want you to do more of it. And that materializes in the world as quote unquote success. So I'll share my story because I think that's the best way to demonstrate to people ways to combine it. The first most clear way was the understanding was just like the natural things I wanted to be when I was young. So I remember in grade 6, this is before anything traumatic happened or pain, which is another thing we'll talk about. I wanted to be a journalist. I remember the very first time I heard about like journalist as a job, I was like, that is so cool. You mean someone travels the world and just captures the most crazy exotic things you possibly can and gets paid to do it? I want to do that. And I remember looking around at my classmates and like no one really seemed to have the same draw to be a journalist. I was like, you guys are crazy. Everyone should be a journalist. And it's now looking back in hindsight that I can be like, oh, like what was the connecting through line? I wanted to travel the world and I wanted to share powerful stories. And then as I mentioned, I want to be a documentary filmmaker. And I started to clue into the fact that even though what I said I wanted to be changed a little bit, that heart of like going into unknown territory and like coming out with these incredible stories was always there. So even if you wanted to be an astronaut, and you might think it's the most cliche thing, like I invite like everyone listening to take time and be like, what did I actually want to be when I was young? Or what inspired me? Like, what did you think of? Because know that within that, there's 100% seeds of what you're capable of as well. And it still applies now, whether it's like you want to be Oprah, there's still seeds of that because it just works really well when you're young because we had less of that filter. We didn't have quite that much of a filter of adults telling us that we couldn't do it. So that's one thing. And the other thing that has been really helpful, I mean, there will be two more, but one is pain. So when I was in middle school, for some reason, I latched onto this idea of, as a lot of people do, of like needing to be thin as a way to be accepted, to be beautiful, to be loved. So I never got diagnosed, but I knew that I had a problem and I pretty much had a binge eating disorder, and I had it for a lot of years off and on. But one of the things that my soul came up with and was that rather than like succumbing to it, I always felt this little voice that was being like, Anita, if you put the energy that you put into controlling how much you eat and being thin into something like a creative project, like into something else, imagine how much you could do. Because it was like, it sucked so much energy out of me to try to do this. So I had that little voice inside me. And so I told myself that I wanted to work in the advertising and media industry because that would be my way to change the world. Now I work online because my sort of evolution of that turned into wanting to be online instead of working in traditional media industries. But again, this is one of those things that I noticed, like even when I was young, I latched onto that. Like I wanted to work in media and I had a purpose for it. And I remember talking to my classmates in high school when we're trying to decide what we're going to do. And they're like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. And I would be like, how can you not know? I know loud and clear. I want to work in media. And I had a really clear purpose for it. So this might be another gateway for people to find their calling, right? And even if it's something recent, it doesn't have to be something young, like if something from your childhood, if you've gone through a divorce recently or a health issue, these are things that if they really move you, you can turn them into, you can, they're part of your purpose too. You know, if you feel like it's going to help someone else to share your story, whatever it may be, like that's part of it too. So the pain, as much as like it hurts, as we heal ourselves in the process, we can share that and heal other people too. So that was a part of it for me. And then the last one is probably the most fun, which is literally what's the most fun for you in life? Like sometimes we overthink it. One of our purposes in life is just to be happy. And that's what the Dalai Lama says, because when you are most happy, you are actually also the most powerful. You exude this like light, exuberant energy that is magnetic. And that's, you know, whether it's like superstars, whether it's CEOs, whether it's just a cashier, or, you know, and then getting promotions into something else that you create in the world. That energy of happiness is so powerful and underrated. So anything that you find fun as well, you can follow that all the way through. Like I do yoga and I might not, like right now I don't have any desire to become like a full-time yogi and brand myself that, but I keep pursuing it and it always opens up different doors for me too. And I just do because it's so fun for me. And I know if I wanted to turn it into my full career, I could and I would love to. But there's other things that are even more fun for me.
Right.
But like following that energy of fun is like, that's gold too. And that anyone can do from any starting point.
Absolutely. I mean, I think those are some good questions. You know, what do you have the most fun doing? What makes you feel most alive? What do you get excited by? And then, you know, what am I really good at that I love to do? What am I really good at that I love to do? You know, and then what does the world need? Right? So like, what am I really good at? What do I love to do? And then where's the niche? Like for you, taking this media background, all the stuff you've done and becoming this international live stream broadcaster, really rock star on it, you know, because you just keep following where you're called and you're just reporting it from this most beautiful, authentic place, you know, and all of that have just kind of, it's led you to finding your unique niche. Mm-hmm. You know, not have known it. You kind of had an inkling of it, but it really came to life over your exploration of it.
Yeah.
You know? And that can start at any age, right? So you're this like incredible voice for the millennials, you know, but somebody might be 60 years old out there going, I haven't really lived. And I want to discover
you
what.
You can still start. Yeah.
You can start asking that question. What do I love to do? What am I really, really good at? You know, and what is that?
And what could I help someone by doing as well, right? How can I serve? Another natural thing that we are happy is like when we all feel more fulfilled when we feel like we're helping someone.
Yes. And that is the biggest question. You know, as you write in that quote, it's like, you know, how can I serve? How can I best serve this world? And when we connect to that sort of higher invitation for ourselves, like it also invites us to show up more fully. Mm-hmm. If I'm just doing it for myself, I may half-ass it. You know what I mean? I might kind of get up. I might do it. I might not. It's just about me. But if it's about something much bigger than our individual selves, then there's an imperative to show up fully and give it everything we have. you know, because only each one of us has a unique gift. You know, there might be 1,000 coaches out there, but every single one, you know, has its our own way of connecting, our own energy, our own life skills, our own experiences, right? There might be 1,000,000 broadcasters sharing world events and things that are happening, but your unique way of showing up and the way that you speak and you know the sweetness that you bring and the authenticity that you bring, nobody has that, no one in the world. And so when we find that thing that's within us, we have to know and believe that we hold this piece that only we can bring. Only you can bring it. Only you. Yeah. You know, and if you don't, then that piece is missing from our world. And so exactly. How can I serve? How can I serve with that thing that I love and I'm really good at? That's my own unique niche in this world. You know, how can I show up to be in greater service? Now I can answer all those baseline questions to start diving in to how we find what we need to be doing in this world.
Yeah. And a big thing that people that I think will help people realize, it's not like you have this one aha moment and then it's all figured out. Right. For everyone, it's this exploration journey. It's this evolution. It's you try it, it feels really good, and then you keep doing it and you see what it evolves to next.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The reason I thrived on Periscope and live streaming was because I actually had wanted to do YouTube. And so I wasn't shy. By the time I found Periscope, I wasn't afraid of talking to myself in a device for long periods because I had been doing that when I was making my like amateur YouTube videos. And I know that that's leading and preparing me for something next, you know, just to serve a bigger scale. So that's why I love throwing in fun into the mix. Cause like, if it's fun for you, do it, because you're naturally going to get better at it and master it without even realizing, because it was just fun.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And really, life is this great experiment and no time has been wasted. I want to put that out there too. Like, no matter how old you are, anybody who's listening right now, like, no time has been wasted. You know, Anita, like you're sharing with your story, you know, every step along the way, even when you were laying on your stomach on having that carpet moment, you know, you're like, I don't want to be here. Like, there's a lesson in that that helped to shape you into.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 100%.
So if you even, no matter what we've been doing in our lives up until this moment right now, which is all that's right here at this moment, right? No matter what we've been doing our whole lives, we get to look at that and say, well, how has it shaped me? What tools has it given me? What insight have I learned? You know, even the things that I know I don't want to do, but also what gifts have I gotten from these experiences that can now move me forward maybe into a new radical step that might be a completely different direction. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to take that leap.
So yeah.
No time has been wasted. Let's be clear, but this is the moment right now to start making, you know, that choice and to live in the experiment of life.
Yeah.
It is a great experiment. You know, we might think that's what I want to do. And then we start trying it and we're like, yeah, not so much, you know, not really resonating with this, but so let me explore a little more. Let me experiment with something else, you know? And so that experiment is really important. Stay curious, stay exploring and experimenting with each moment of our lives, right?
Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I could provide for people that will be helpful in this journey of exploration is what I like to call feeling your flow, or like feeling your yes. Because one of the things that helped me, now I do it a lot more consciously, and we all kind of do it unconsciously, but it'll be great for everyone to bring this like to the forefront of your mind. It's knowing what a yes feels like in your body and what a no feels like in your body.
Awesome.
So that you can literally, your body will like pull you into a store that you're supposed to go and meet someone. But it's also just so good when you want to make these big life-changing decisions and you're afraid to, and you have no way to check. Journaling is one of my favorite ways to do it because you can see the words in front of you, but it's, sometimes you don't even need to journal because you've gotten so used to feeling it in your body, feeling what a yes feels like and feeling what a no feels like, so that you can speak, you know, you can speak with power when you talk about like, my intuition says no, it literally means no, and be really clear on it. So we could do a short guided meditation so that everyone can sort of get that experience and embody what it feels like. Once you know what the yes feels like in your body, the key is just to live at a yes as much as possible. Eventually, like, you know, 90, 95, 100%, so that every decision that you make in your day and for your life feels like a yes. And that accumulates, obviously, into this, like, fantastic journey where people are like, how did that happen to you? How did that happen to you? And you just say, well, it, like, I knew I was supposed to, so I showed up and it was meant to.
Yeah, I love that, Anita. Yes, I think it would be wonderful to dive into that. And just to share like an image that just came up as you were saying that, I was just thinking about, you know, sometimes we do things where like, okay, I don't know, so I'm just going to give it to chance, so to speak. So like, let's say, for example, flipping a coin, okay? Heads, I do it, tails, I don't. You flip it and it's tails and you're like, okay, 2 out of 3. What is that telling you? You know, it's telling you that you want to do it. Because, you know, you're really looking for that. You're looking for the confirmation of the yes. You know, so like there's just so many ways when we can feel, like we can explore how to feel it, you know, to see go into the question of it, really. All right, so I'm excited to experience the meditation.
Okay, awesome. So let's close your eyes with me. Take a deep breath. Taking a few moments to center in, breathing in through your nose, filling your lungs all the way to the top, and exhale out your mouth. Take a few more deep breaths like this, in your nose, out your mouth. Each exhale, imagine all tension and thought leaving you like a gray mist out of your skin. Let's relax through every part in our body, relaxing all the muscles of the face, relaxing your jaw, relaxing your shoulders, taking the weight of the world off your shoulders and let them hang loose. Relax down your arms, feeling the weight of your hands on your lap. Relaxing all tension from your back, your belly, and feeling the weight of your seat bones on the chair beneath you. Totally relaxing all the way through your hips, down your legs, calves, and all the way to the bottoms of your feet and your tippy toes. Take a deep breath in. With your exhale, let go of anything that is not you. Now in your heart, mind, and soul, repeat the word yes. Yes, yes, yes. Notice any feelings that come up in your body. If yes was a color, what would it be? Simply receive the answer. If yes was a food, what would it be? And what would your yes taste like as you eat this food and feel it in your body? Noticing the delicious sensations of this yes food. As it digests and moves through every part of your body. If yes was the temperature, what would it feel like? If yes was a place, what environment would you be in? Indoors, outdoors? Really feel the space. of a yes environment for you. And if a yes was an outfit, what would you be wearing? What's your top and your bottom? What material is your yes outfit made of? Notice how it feels on your body as you imagine looking in a mirror wearing your yes outfit. Take a few moments here to really soak in the feeling of yes. Now imagine taking off your yes outfit, put it back on the hanger, and put it back in the closet. Now in your heart, mind, and soul, repeat the word no. No, no. If no was a color for you, what would it be? If no was a food, what would it be? Allowing yourself to receive these answers. Imagine eating this no food. How does it feel in your body as it goes down? Goes through your digestive system and all the way into every cell in your body. If no was the temperature, how would it feel? If no was an environment, where would you be? Indoors, outdoors. Imagine the space all around you when you know that the answer is no. Now imagine your no outfit. What would your top be? And your bottom. What fabric is this no outfit made of? Imagine looking at yourself in the mirror. How do you feel as you see yourself in this no outfit? Take a moment to soak in this feeling of no. So that any time you come across a question in life, you can come back to this imagery and this feeling to know your intuitive answer and what's right or not for you. Now imagine taking off your no outfit, putting it back on the hanger and back in the closet. Take a deep breath here, inhaling through your nose, beginning to wake your body back up, moving your fingers and toes slightly. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and welcome back. So that's a...
I wanted to put on my yes outfit again.
Yeah, me too, right?
Put on my yes.
I wish I could wear my yes outfit every day. So I love doing this because this isn't, you know, there's no magic to it. It was just your mind. You knew these things already. And so the more that we are tapped into that intuitive yes, the quicker it is to make decisions about like what's right for you or wrong for you. And you don't always have to know the exact outcome, but as you test this out in your own life, right, you'll find it works more. It works better and better. And you're like, okay, I'm going to be able to trust myself more and more. And that is what's going to guide you through this life journey.
Oh, Anita, that was really, really great. Like I've really had an embodied feeling of it. I love how you brought in the different ways of feeling it in your body, the tasting it, the texture of the clothing, like all of that, you know? And it, yeah, it really is. Like I was craving my yes at the end. I was like, I just want to feel the yes. Like, and don't we all want to feel the yes all the time in our lives? You know, we always want to live in that space of yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's such an important distinction, you know, and just, and I'm thinking about like those questions, and you're saying like sometimes you journal, you know, and the questions that we can explore to give us that feeling of what is that yes for us, you know, and thinking about like if we had no limitations, because sometimes our yes gets kind of squelched with ideas of, you know, I can't really do that because I XYZ have a million excuses, or I'm not really ready for that, or I don't have the money for that, or we have like a million excuses for things. So what if we were to take away all of our excuses, you know, like you have all the money all the time, you know, and you know, you're not going to fail. What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
It's a question we've heard before, but it's a
question. Is like the perfect time to do it too. It's end of year, beginning of a new year. This is what I always strive to do with myself and my life. And that's why I came up with that question. What would happen if I didn't worry about money and careers? And we just woke up every day asking, how can I serve? So that's the question I actually wrote for 2016. And I think it will be fun for everyone to know that the next evolution of that I realized is that it's kind of like the pink elephant analogy, right? If I say, don't think of the pink elephant, you think of it. So if I ask myself the question, what if I don't worry about money and careers? What are you going to do? Worry about money and career. So the real question is actually, what would you do this year if you trusted that all the resources you need to live your calling were here, and you knew that like all you had to do was follow your intuition and have fun? Like, what would you create this year?
Mm.
And so even just using that as a starting point and an exercise to draw out or jot down all of the things that you would love to do in the year ahead. Because even for my year, speaking of fear, like I consciously push myself not to do things that I know are going to be easy, because I've already traveled a lot of different ways. There's things that I know are already fun. So what could I do that would be different? Not like for myself, because I just like to do that, but also because I know it will inspire other people, will give me more stories and be like, look, this is doable too. So it's great to like get all of those ideas down. And then as you look to the year ahead, you know, feel which ones seem the easiest for you. Which ones do you want to like push the boundaries of?
Right.
And be okay with like leaving certain things for the next 5 years of your life, but still building out your year in a way that like you're challenging yourself. Sometimes it might be a little bit more difficult, but it also should feel fun and easy, you know, and then you can always just put the more difficult things towards the end of the year so you can work your way up to it.
Beautiful. Yeah. In January, you know, we're still in that beginning of the year right now. So it's a great time for us to still dive into that, you know, absolutely, as we're stepping into what we're creating in this moment. And I think, you know, another thing is that, you know, right now we're living in an incredibly powerful time, you know, where we're really all of us being invited to take a look at these questions, you know, who am I? What am I passionate about? How can I live more fully? You know, and the world needs us to show up. Like there's just this great invitation right now. This is what this whole summit is about, you know, is asking those questions and really figuring out how we can each show up more powerfully and know that we're not alone in that journey. You know, that we all really want to live our yes all the time.
Yes.
You know, we want to live that ideal life. You know, when you're at the end of your life and you look back, what would that life look like? Your ideal life. What would that life look like? Imagine that you're about to take your last breath and you reflect on your life and it's your ideal life. What unfolded for you? Right? And how can you create that? You know, how do you live that life that you're envisioning? It starts with the vision. It starts with playing. It starts with experimenting. It starts with self-inquiry. You know, it all begins there. And I actually want to share a poem, knowing that we were talking about this, from one of my favorite poets, David White. And it's just such a beautiful way to to question like that beginning space of where do I start? Where do I start? And it's actually called start close in. So here it is. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take. Start with the ground you know, the pale ground beneath your feet, your own way of starting the conversation. Start with your own question. Give up on other people's questions. Don't let them smother something simple. To find another's voice, follow your own voice. Wait until that voice becomes a private ear, listening. Mm-hmm. Start right now. Take a small step you can call your own. Don't follow someone else's heroics. Be humble and focused. Start close in. Don't mistake that other for your own. Start close in. Don't take the second step or the third. Start with the first thing, close in, the step you don't want to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's incredible.
Beautiful.
Invitation, right? For, again, befriending your fear. You know, coming back to that, I love how you worded that. You know, it's coming back to that space where you're not so sure you want to take it. You know, you don't even know what it is, but you know, there's something there. There's something mm-hmm. there. You know, and just kind of beginning there. Don't have to think about the whole thing. Like, how am I going to do all this? It seems so big and overwhelming, so I'm just not going to start. Right? It's just that one thing. Just do that one thing. The one thing that feels a little bit scary. Do that one thing and see how it feels. Does it feel like the yes? Now do another thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like the yes? Does it feel as hard as you thought it would? You know, just like, oh, let's try it again. Another thing. It's such a powerful invitation.
Yeah, and I love his focus on don't worry about what other people say is the first thing, which is why I'm really big on intuition as well, because that was one of my own lessons. It's actually just do what feels right for you, because there are 1,000 ways to get started, and people can tell you, oh, this is how I did it, and like we're inclined, partly out of fear, to be like, okay, I'm going to do what they did because it worked for them. But no, it's, you know, one of the big themes for me in my life right now is if someone has done it, and you're doing it because they've done it in that model, it's not your model.
It's true. I love what you're saying about that too, especially like as an online entrepreneur, like everybody's got a blueprint. And it's okay, you know, read about it, learn about it. You know, Mozart had to learn how to read music. Beethoven had to learn how to read music. You know, we want to kind of get the fundamentals and see what's working and see what's out there. And then ask yourself how you need to show up. Okay, so you got some basics. You got a good education and some grounding on it. And now stand on the shoulders of giants. Now create from your yes and your truth and your authority and your own unique way of showing up. That's your own voice, right? That begins the conversation. Because that's it. We're in that conversation. So, okay. So now we've got it, right? We've got some great tools to explore what's here, what's alive, what we're passionate about, you know, walking with our fear and our courage and taking that first step and doing all this. So now let's talk about how do we bring that sustainability into it? How do we create cash flow where it feels like this is, you know, I got to stay with this 9-to-5 that I hate and do this as a hobby because there's no way I can actually make a living out of it. How do we bridge that gap?
So this is always a fun one for me to talk about, turning your passion into your paycheck and transitioning. I think the biggest thing is that it's okay and it's good to be patient with yourself and to not expect it to happen overnight. Because I feel like partly because we hear these success stories, we put all this pressure on ourselves for it to work out right now. But no, in my experience and everyone that's seen, it takes time because there's so many personal internal lessons you have to learn before that can happen in your physical world. But what I found is really the more that you do what you love, the better. This is like the most simplest way I can put it, because it applies to every industry and any passion. The more you do what you love, the more you're going to get good at it. And over time, you're going to master it and develop the skills for it. And then someone, I promise, is going to want to pay you for it. It's like, and then the paying part is where we get hung up. Like, we just want to get paid for it. Like, no. Don't tell me how to master it. Just tell me how to get paid for it. But in my experience, it's like even with Periscope and live streaming, you know, now I'm able to have income sources for it. But for a long time, I did it because I loved it and it was fun. And then I got good at it and I mastered it and I found ways to create community and I really focused on giving and serving. And I did it still continually and more because it was fun. And then, you know, I wouldn't say I'm like the top master at it, but out of like the whole spectrum of live streamers, like I've picked up some skills by using it. And then sometimes through avenues I expected, and most of the times through avenues I didn't expect, I found ways that I could be financially supported doing it. Right. And it was part of like a much bigger, larger mission. So that's just an example with one skill, live streaming. But at the heart of it, it's like sharing my story, right? The art of like sharing my story and inspiring people online. So, and then I've like done that multiple times in different ways, whether it's through training programs or through YouTube or in-person work. So that simple idea, like know that the point where you get paid for it, like I'm a firm believer that like the universe, you don't have to struggle for that part. The universe is, if you keep consistently putting yourself out there, sharing your passion, build it, you know, sharing your skills, whatever that thing is, even if it's like organizing like post-its and books for people, right? If you keep doing it and you just get good at it, and the universe is going to start seeing that like, okay, this particular channel, this human being is listening to their inner calling and we want them to do more of it. So here's the money. So in my experience, this is one of the fun things. It's not like I just have a business and this is what I do. I've gotten paid to travel and do what I love in at least 20 different ways, you know, including the early things of like teaching English to more modern, to more current things, whether it's like sponsored trips or being part of incredible summits like this.
Well, like Project SoulFam, right?
Yeah.
That's one of your ways that people are contributing to the humanitarian work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Talk just a little bit about that so people can
know. Yeah, so when I knew I wanted to go back into the world and travel, part of what I wanted to do was not just make it about me and travel, but like build this big global family and show people like I had already seen the impact of putting myself out there and how people wanted to support me then and wanted to like be a part of this mission of waking people up and living an inspired life. So one of the things I did was I opened up the call so that if people had been following me for a while and they wanted to support it, they could host me wherever they are around the world. So one of the things I've been doing is couch surfing and living with some of my social media followers who believe in what I do as well and just want to be a part of it. So sometimes they just host me for free. I will sleep on like couches, air mattresses, and other things. And that's one of the ways that I've been able to travel the world. And that was through like opening up and being like, we're in this together. How can we make something amazing together?
Mm.
Right. And that's why this beautiful practice of just focusing on what's fun for you and what you love to do and not worrying about the money yet. Like do that first, because naturally the method for you to get paid for it, whether it's someone hiring you or giving you a contract or, you know, one of the ways for me is couch surfing. Like those methods will naturally come to you. They'll overflow to you. They'll through like you'll intuitively know what the right thing is. Because you're focused more on how can I provide value to people, right. You know, how can I get really good at this? So
how am I in service?
Yeah. Method to get paid, I've always found like it comes automatically. It comes on its own. Like I don't have to worry so much about that part. Mm-hmm. And again, you can always test this out with a little thing, be like, fear, if it doesn't work out, we'll just actually submit a resume, right? But you can test this out and be like, I'll submit the resume and I'll see what happens. And you know, sometimes I'll write emails but I'll just write one and I'll only send the one that's right and it works out. And you know, the collaborator, it, you know, it works out perfectly. So
and not being afraid to quote unquote fail.
Yeah.
It was Winston Churchill said, success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, yeah, the consistency of it, like keep getting back up and try again. And every time you think you failed, you really got a great lesson to help you do it better. Now do it again, do it again, do it again. As long as your heart is in it, keep doing it until you reach that point, like you're saying, of mastery, you know, where you're so good at this thing. The next thing you know, it's like, there's a job.
Yeah.
You created the job.
One of my favorite things to look at is just to like, check out what someone else is making a living doing, because there is someone in the world that is making a living doing absolutely everything. Like there's someone in the world whose job is to play with Lego blocks and make sure that they're fun and they're doable. I literally walked past exactly right. And like how many parents tell their kids, you can't do that, you need to go be an architect. Like, no, they're still playing with Lego blocks. Someone designed Legoland. And that's just like a little example, but there's everything in the world. Like, somebody designs nail polish and paint colors, and like, this is their job and this is their life.
And that little voice that you just brought in real quick about, and your parents said, go be an architect, or your parents said, go be a doctor, or your friend said, you can't do that. Be careful with those voices.
Right? Yeah.
When you're up against like where you don't feel like you're supported, but you know that this is the right action for you to go to that yes that you so beautifully, you know, brought us into. And if it feels like the yes, you gotta find your own voice.
Yeah.
So I wanted to mention that too, make sure we didn't forget to not talk about that. If we're up against, you know, other people saying, no, it's not possible, you know, to recognize that there's no weight in that. If you believe it is, you've got to explore it. And if it doesn't end up being the thing you thought it would be, it's going to be something that serves you into the thing that it's going to be. Mm-hmm. That's an important aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the just personal experience for me is whenever, you know, just for fun, I'll be like, somebody makes a living doing that.
I love that.
Like, you want to get paid to do what you love? Like, just check out all the people that are doing it, because there's lots of people working jobs, but there's also lots of people doing really far out stuff that they get to do because they didn't limit themselves to the normal jobs.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And when we say normal, all we really mean is a job that you don't love.
Yeah. I love how you said at the beginning, something that just doesn't resonate with your soul.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it because you think you need the paycheck.
Right. And that's what we mean when we say normal. It doesn't, there's no real definition of what a normal job looks like. It just looks like something that doesn't feel
right.
It's not yours. And when it's not yours, you're doing it anyway because you think that you're supposed to because society says so. That's the normal job. Yeah. So just to kind of weigh that. Anita, this has been such an awesome journey. Like, I'm so excited that we can explore this because it's such an important topic for all of us right now in this great invitation, you know, to show up in our yes. So thank you. And
thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. And you, this incredible traveler, you have this incredible gift for us. So everybody can download Anita's free gift, which is Get Paid to Travel Starter Guide. Learn Anita's 7 steps to get paid to travel. So if anybody's interested in that, download that. Who doesn't want to get paid to travel, or at least to explore the possibilities in that at any age, you know, what's possible. And then you were also so gracious as to offer us an incredible masterclass that goes even deeper into all of this, how to find your true calling. So that's actually part of our upgrade package. So if any of you are, you know, thinking about that, this is one of those incredible extra bonus masterclasses that come with, you know, the upgrade package that, again, 50% we're donating to the Children in Nature Network. And Anita, what's the foundation that you're donating to?
Revel Soap for Refugees and Global Meditation Scope.
Beautiful, beautiful. So sister, thank you. And thank you for all the incredible work that you do. I know you were in Greece working with the refugees, and you're also creating a book right now about that.
Yes. It's called The Soul of Humanity. It's a photography book inspired by the humanitarian work I did earlier this year with refugees.
Yeah, what a powerful experience. And I was following you around that too. And thank you, you know, for sharing the truth, because the truth is, especially right now in like a post-truth world, we are the media, and we're the ones that need to report what we see, you know, in the world. So thank you for all the amazing work you do, sister. You are an incredible voice for this young generation. And I'm so grateful that we have you in our world.
Thank you, Val.
Thank you, sister. I love you.